Okay.
And we are rolling. Very glad to have you on our podcast. And maybe we'll start off by getting you to tell us your name, the name of your company, and what you do as your role in general manager for your company on a daily basis.
Hi there, my name's David Burke. I work for a company called Impellus. We operate as a lead generation and performance marketing company across the UK and Australia and New Zealand. My role in the company is quite broad, involves setting the strategy, working with the team on setting up new campaigns, campaign optimization, and we work with a wide range of direct advertisers across a range of performance-based channels and some paid media as well.
So you help with advertisers with the performance marketing.
Yep.
And we understand that your background is also in creative, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So maybe you tell us a little bit more. Let's backtrack a bit. Where did you grow up and what inspired you to become general manager?
Okay. So my background is in mobile marketing. So I started in mobile marketing in 2006. I started up a Bluetooth company, borrowed some money, then went into email, SMS. I've worked extensively in performance marketing for about 10 years, including in America for the last four. And then since returning back to Australia, I've gone back into performance marketing because I really like the industry, I like the people, and I like the fact that advertisers only pay for results.
That's excellent. Tell us a career journey. Did it prepare you to become general manager?
Yeah, I like to think so. So I've been working a lot either selling technology or using technology. So it's good to work both sides of the coin. So it helps you when you're talking to marketers, you're able to talk them through the technologies that you're using or you've used. And similarly, you know, when you're with your staff as well, it provides more background on and options onto like what technologies are out there. So I'd say understanding technology has really helped me in my role and has helped me, you know, to where I am today, that's for sure.
Awesome. People told me that performance marketing is the favorite innovation, and also a lot of things have happened rapidly in terms of the technology involved. What do you think are the lessons for agencies or even digital marketers in general?
So performance marketers have to be always innovating. The reason that performance marketing is often the source of innovation is because advertisers only ever pay for a quantifiable result. So there's no test budgets, there's no retainers. It either works or it doesn't. So the onus is on the network or the affiliate or the publisher to make sure that it works. And because of that pressure, people turn themselves inside and out to figure out how to make a campaign work and how to hit those metrics. And as a result of those, of trying to hit those metrics, then when people are under pressure, they come up with new ideas and new solutions on how to do things. The affiliate marketing is a little bit like the affiliate industry, the adult industry. They're always, I would say, at the forefront of new technologies. The most recent example of that would be around chatbots. You know, that's been prevalent in affiliate for some time, and then also push notifications. And then generally what happens is once the technology and the processes are more established, then the traditional agencies can come in and then charge their clients on a CPM or retainer basis, and then they come in a little bit later.
Thank you for your sharing on that. And what can our community listeners learn from your run of so many years in the industry? What insights did you learn from this remarkable journey?
So I think, like anything, it always starts with data. One of the key things I think in the industry for people to realize at agencies is around the term performance. So true performance marketing is not caring about the optimization of a campaign. It's actually being paid only on the outcome of a campaign. So cost per sale, cost per lead, cost per install. There is some confusion within the agency environment around the world around what performance means. So if you are doing a performance campaigns, that means that you only get paid when the conversion pixel or the postback URL fires. It doesn't mean that you get paid. The performance campaign is not when you optimize something from $150 down to $100. That's optimizing the performance of a campaign, but it's very separate to a performance-based campaign.
That's really insightful. And for every listener knowing and following performance marketing, what is a good 4-minute rant on the current state of the industry?
Okay. Well, I've got a few. Could be here for a while. So I can really talk from an Australian and European perspective on performance marketing. So what's happened recently been a couple of things. Firstly, around 2014, 15, 16, we saw the rise of CPI networks, and that was really big and it exploded all across the world. Unfortunately, a lot of these networks were fraudulent, and it took a while for advertisers to cotton on to what traffic was good or what traffic was bad. And what we've seen with performance marketing campaigns and mobile has been that the budgets have shrunk as the advertisers, like big gaming advertisers, have now stopped using networks and now relied directly on Facebook, Snap, and Google and direct publisher relationships. So the network model has definitely changed, and you can see that within the industry there's been some consolidation around networks. If you don't have direct publisher relationships, brands simply aren't interested in working with you. Similarly, in lead generation, for many years in Europe and Australia especially, there was lead generation was sort of synonymous with co-registration. Co-registration is a sweepstakes model which started out in 2010-11 in America. It had some good legs in Australia. The leaders there in Australia and Europe made a lot of money out of it, but they didn't actually invest in new technologies and processes. As a result, again, we've seen consolidation in the lead generation industry. What we're seeing now in lead gen and performance marketing as like someone told me just earlier, as the cowboys are left and now it's a lot more white hat. So it's good news for brands is that the only people that are doing really well in performance marketing in 2019-2020 are going to be the ones that have good products, direct publisher relationships, and are transparent with their clients around the true cost of acquisition.
Those are fantastic observations. And what's been the most interesting thing in the last year or two? It can be completely anything, either an AI-driven campaign or experiment that you did on social media. What's your hot take on the intersection of social media, targeted marketing, and other marketing tools and technologies?
So I think the biggest thing has really been Facebook. You know, and there have been a lot of companies that have leveraged Facebook and become experts at Facebook. I'm not an expert in Facebook myself, but I know there's different ways to train to gain the algorithm, and I know of people that can jump in and out of buying Facebook and get a lot of traffic very quickly, which is at high quality. Similarly, I think the advance, and you can see this with Facebook, with ManyChat, which we just used earlier, is taking people out of web forms and onto websites and putting them into conversations, whether that be on a website or in ManyChat, I think is the future. People want to have experiences online or on their mobile phone. They want access to information and entertainment. They don't also necessarily always want to fill out a form and wait for someone to call them. So as marketers, we are trying to develop new products and techniques that can work with advertisers, but also one of the key things I really drive home with my team is to maximize people's utility. You know, like, can we provide something of use and of benefit to that user at that time? And let's really try hard on doing so.
We love it that you focus a lot on your customers. So
yep.
Next career question, what were the challenges you faced in the 2000s? What were they, and what are the current challenges you are facing today?
So you mean like 2000s, back in 2000 before the iPhone?
Yeah.
So I'd say, where to start? I think the challenges back then is around, there's a lot around attribution and data and analytics. So things just operated in silos. You had, you know, I remember when responsive sites came out in 2012-13, that was a big deal. I'd say the challenges back in the day would have been that everything was siloed, so you had email by itself, mobile phones didn't really work as much. It was just a different industry. I remember doing a lot of premium SMS, MMS, you know, mobile content back in the 2000s. Coming into this decade, cross-device has happened, but the biggest challenge really is still going to be, I'd say, the domination of Google and Facebook, the walled gardens. It makes it really difficult for marketers often to do something outside of Google and Facebook. They've got to work with them. Also, owning your own data makes it difficult to do something different. All of it goes to Google and Facebook. So I'd say the biggest challenge for marketers is going to be, like, in the 2020s, you know, what can you do or what can you provide and how can you reach people outside of Google and Facebook, and what does that look like? I think we're still yet to find that out. Maybe Amazon will offer advertisers something different as well.
That's really awesome. What does the future look like for performance marketing?
The future for performance marketing, I would say, is in a bit of a rebirth. It depends on which part of performance marketing you look at. So I'm focused on lead generation. I'd say that we're in the middle of a transition from one certain type to a more premium, high quality lead generation. So lead generation used to be a little top of the funnel, low quality, lots of data, and now advertisers want really high quality data. Where it comes to performance marketing for mobile networks, I think they're in a bit of trouble. I think that's run its race. Performance marketing agencies, I think, are going to grow around the world. Performance marketing for publishers is going great guns. So if we look at New York Times, Washington Post, Apple, other publishers like BuzzFeed, they're now starting to make a lot of money working with affiliate networks and really owning their own audience and owning their own data. So it really depends on where you look, but safe to say the next 10 years there's going to be some great players and great results in performance marketing. And I think that every advertiser should be putting at least 20 to 30% of their budget, you know, into the performance space.
Fantastic. Tell us the best day of your career so far. What are your achievements and milestones of your tenure, and what do you think are the things you haven't done?
So the best day of my career is anytime you set a campaign live and you crack it and it works and the users are happy, you're happy, and the advertisers are happy. So that generally comes after a lot of work. So I'd say campaigns that work and they can scale, that makes me very happy. What was the second part of the question?
What are the things that you feel that you haven't done yet?
Things I haven't done yet is really around, I think, creating a better user experience is something I'm really focused on, which is how can we generate high quality leads for advertisers, but also provide users with, you know, some type of information as well. So it's like a value exchange. And I think the biggest thing that I'm focusing on right now is what is that value exchange? So when we go and ask people for their data, whether it be their phone number or their email address, then what are we giving them in return? And then are we being transparent about where that data goes and how it's being used? And I really want to focus on increasing that value to people. So if they want information, well, what type of information do they want? And then making sure that when we do request information, it's crystal clear as to how it's being used and people feel good about it.
That's a really good point. How did you stay fresh, sharp, and creative and on top of your game? Do you have any athletic pursuit, or do you indulge in music, media shows, or books?
To stay on top of my game, I do a lot of cycling, so that keeps me nice and fit. So that's what I'm into, cycling a lot. And then the other thing is just traveling around the world and meeting great people has been how I've built my career. So going to conferences, meeting with people, discussing business challenges. Most of the good ideas I get really are a mix of other people's ideas and inputs, and you've got to sort of think about that yourself. But I think that definitely coming to conferences and meeting people and some really smart people around the world definitely keeps me energized, and that's why I'm here in Germany.
That's awesome. What would you like to be remembered in your job or your career legacy?
I'm not sure. As someone who delivered results, I'd say was trustworthy, easy to deal with, and also a bit of fun.
The next one is a heavier question. How do you come back from a crisis?
Good point. Generally, coming back from a crisis, you need to look at what's going on. So firstly, I think if you're still in a crisis, you've got to put the fire out, and you've got, before you start making decisions, you need to really do a bit of look at the analytics or talk to the client and really try and find out what happened. Not to make any promises in the middle of a crisis. Sometimes crises happen, it may be not your fault, so it's not to panic. You kind of got to let some things play out, and then once it's sort of played out, get your team together, have an honest and frank conversation about what went wrong, and also with the advertiser as well. And then once you've done that kind of analysis, going back to the advertiser or to the publisher to say, here's what happened, here's what transpired, here's the result, and then also here's what we've done about it, and here's how we see the plan in the future. So I think in all of that, it really comes down to communication between all parties is the best way to negotiate and move out of a crisis.
Wow, by the way, that's really great advice. So let's lighten the mood a little bit and okay. do a speed round of questions.
Yep.
So remember not to overthink your answers.
Okay.
Let's start. Your favorite general manager or CMO ever?
That's a good question. I really enjoyed working with Peter Hamilton at Tune in America, and there was another other guy there called Jonakai and Jonakai Hancock in America. They were really great to work with.
Your most admired data scientist or performance marketer?
There's a data scientist called Clinton Larson, who's now I think in LA, and I've met him in 2009, and he was already talking about big data and how you can use it, and he was really ahead of his time.
Best agency you ever worked with?
Best agency I've ever worked with. That's funny because I've sort of run a couple, but so I'd like to say my own. I've had, like, a long time ago, I had some good success with Group M, but I haven't really been involved with agencies. There's a great agency in Seattle called Ad3, and I love those guys. So I have to say Ad3 in Seattle.
DMEXCO, Popcorn, or South by Southwest?
DMEXCO.
LA, California, Sydney, or Singapore?
LA, California. California. Hands down. Yeah, it's got San Francisco and San Jose.
Can you remember the first brand or campaign that had an impact on you when you were a kid?
The Guns N' Roses TV ad.
Oh, I can't remember that one.
Yeah, that's all right. It's a very long time ago.
Okay, it must be the 90s, right?
Yeah, late 80s.
Cardio or weights?
Mainly cardio, a little bit of weights.
Vegetarian or vegetarian?
Mainly vegetarian with a little bit of meat.
Podcasts or vlogs?
Podcasts.
Cola or lemonade?
Ola or?
Cola or lemonade?
Oh, cola. Full sugar.
Last one, what's your biggest passion?
Cycling.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And we thank you so much. It's a pleasure and honor to have you on the podcast. Hope that you have a great time at DMEXCO. You have a great week ahead.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Thank you.